Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 325, part 1, Judging. Today is Friday, January 3rd, 2014. Happy New Year.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled, Judging. I don't know why it is. When people judge, they always judge bad. You know, it seems that way. I mean, when you say the word judge, you always think bad. But there's good judging also. Psalm 7:7 then says, "And let the assembly of the people encompass thee, and over them return thou on high." And I think David here is seeing and having a foretaste of the judgment of God's people. In verse 8, "The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous." Of course, the righteous are the ones that are saved. That's the only reason they are righteous. "For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds." Of course, when you read this, you have to remember that God is judging for us, not against us. "And my shield," which of course means my salvation, "is with God." Aren't you glad of that? "Who saves the upright in heart." God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. Then John 5:30. "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." John 7:24. "Do not judge according to appearance." And so many times we're caught up in judging by what we see or what we hear. "But judge with righteous judgment. Well, all right, then you have to judge in the eyes of Jesus Christ, which he is no respecter of persons. They're all the same. John 8, 15 and 16. You people, he says, judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone in it, but I and he who sent me. In John 12 and 47 and 48. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He goes on, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judged him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. So it's nothing but the word of God that will judge you. No man will judge you, just the word of God. And that brings me to a scripture I think is very important. Love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered, and so on. That's how we're going to be judged. Not for sin, but how you reacted. And then 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 5. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing of myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Don't worry about when people judge you. It doesn't mean a thing. It's God. He's the one. See, we're not supposed to judge anyway, not even ourselves, as Paul says. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And that's why I think it's important to examine our own hearts and just let the light come in. It doesn't matter what's in there. Just be honest. Who will both bring light to the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Well, we're all going to praise God when God starts dealing with our hearts, of course. In Romans then 3 and 16, in that day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In Romans 14 and 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So in this message, and I think in a finality of the whole thing, just don't judge things. Don't judge your brother. You don't know about your brother. Don't even judge yourself. You don't even know yourself. Sounds to me that judging is a little out of our hands. Wouldn't you say? Does the Bible say, agree with your adversary quickly whilst they're in the way? Well, someone has something to say, agree with them and go on your merry way. You see, I believe when a man has a very empty head, he most always sets himself up as a great judge. Now, if you want to find somebody that's got a real empty head, that's someone usually that sets himself up to be a great judge. And then again, none is so wise as the man who knows nothing. See, because his ignorance makes him haughty, makes him mean, makes him petty, makes him loud, makes him wide-eyed, ready to swing his little wooden sword. And though he knows nothing, he talks as if the wisdom of the universe were at his very fingertips. Now, if you want to learn how to become an expert at destroying people, and I minister this because I do get phone calls from different pastors and so on, and people around, and they're all concerned now about the church at large, or I should say the body of Christ. But anyway, if you want to learn how to become an expert at destroying people or pastors or families, then I think we should follow the sermon judgers. Someone that goes from church to church to church and judges the sermons. And you'll see him in one church, and you'll see him in another church, and they'll be on one radio program or another radio program, and they'll listen, and they'll judge it. And so then by following a sermon judger around, you'll learn how to become a person that's apt at making a mountain out of a molehill. Of course, you can put all of his wit into a thimble. But then he weighs the sermon like he's Solomon himself. So don't concern yourself with that. Pastors, are you listening on the radio? And a person like that, Pastor, will see wrong no matter where. He'll see wrong, even if there isn't any. Now, we know there are wise men in the world. But tonight we're going to speak of the puffed up, fleshy minds with lips like a goose who cackle and waddle around and they actually think they have something to say. So we're going to hit on the judgers. Here come the judge. Now I'll say this, pastors, of you that are calling, and there's about three of you, concerned about your church, concerned about this and concerned about that, how people are treating you. Judging preachers is a poor way to make a living. It doesn't pay anything. No one will give you any money for all of this wisdom. Usually the judge is a very poor giver. Then he says, I should be paid for all this wisdom. Well, then I say to you, if you're listening and you're a judger out there, start a church. And let people pay you for your thoughts. And I hope you're a very light eater. But I think it's a very dreadful thing to see a happy family of Christians broken up by, what can we say, fault finders. And all about, usually, less than nothing. Beware the wolves of fault finding. Are you hearing this, pastors? Don't concern yourselves too much. Just get up there and preach the Word of God and give what God has given you to say and give it out there. But anyway, fault finding, you know, is very catching. Like corn thrown into chickens. They'll all run after it and start pick, 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 peck, 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 peck. One dog in the kennel, he starts howling, they all start howling. Is that right? I believe we should ask God to send us some dog catchers into our churches to sort of round up all these shaggy-haired, long-nosed, howling, yapping, tail-wagging, complaining, flea-scratching, lop-eared, hand-biting dogs of the devil. Don't ask me to say that again. And let them stay in the dog pound until they are thoroughly deloused. Let them be in the dog's discipline school until they are able to listen to their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, without biting the hand that feeds them. But anyway, stay away from those wolf packs, because in the end, those that throw mud at others always end up rolling in the mud. And see, so you don't have to concern yourself so much with people. Don't get all caught up in what they might have to say or how you think they might be judging you. Because every speck of mud that they throw is going to come back. Whatever that you sow, so also shall ye reap. I've learned how to keep my mouth shut. I don't want to take a whole lot of mud back in my kisser. God knows there's been enough thrown at me. Say amen, somebody. Don't worry about all that. It's not your worry. They'll all be taken care of, even here, right here on earth, but oh, when you get to heaven. God's going to ask that question, where were you? And you say, well, I was busy judging here and judging there, and I was taking care of all these sermons. Man, I had to go around, check all these sermons out, listen on the radio and complain and get into discussion and get into people's business and everything, don't you know, Lord? I was looking at this this goddess, do they call it, of justice? And I thought, well, now let's just take a real good look at this and study this thing. And what does it mean? You ever look at that one with the blindfold on there? And in the left hand, they hold a balance. In the right hand, there's a sword. And so thus stands the goddess of justice. Her eyes closed to the facts. And she holds high the scales of justice, but she never sees their movement. Her sword is ever ready for punishment before hearing the facts. And she excludes all evidence but one, hearsay. And this goddess of justice, by the way, is the one that dominates the world and society. Blind. Uncaring, unseeing. But don't you know true justice should be open-minded, open-eyed, open-mouthed, open-handed. No blindfolds, no scales, no sword, meek, serene, free, no prejudices. Are you hearing this? Eyes wide open, not blindfolded. Free to investigate. Free to test and free to prove. The judgment should be before her, not held by a trembling, tired eye and blinded eyes. Sounds like a job for God, doesn't it? You listening on the radio, is that a job for God? I believe so. Because, see, a person's character is not a simple, uniform product. It can't be judged like a drop of paint from a gallon. A person's character is so complex, so confused, so uncertain, so changing. Can you agree on that? Subject to many moods. And you know that all contradicts our conclusions. About the time you think you have someone figured out, they'll do something to persuade you otherwise. There is no judging a person. They are too complex. Don't sit and try to, you listening on the radio, try to get into why the person said that, why they did that. It doesn't matter. Don't get into trying to figure out all of their motives. You know, really, who cares? See, that's why we can't judge. The character of God's people are too complex. And yet, knowing all of this, we dare to construct the whole life and the whole character of a person we never met, and we'll judge them by hearsay. It's like having a Russian leader over here, and then the newspaper says this, and it says that, and it says this, and then we judge by all that. Or our president goes over there, and they judge by all of that. Well, it doesn't take us long, does it, folks, to totally build a person's character. And we can do it from a very scrap of evidence. From a few hints and a few clues. From a few slurs. From a few idle comments. And oh, it never ceases to amaze me how people will discount. Well, you know, I really don't know the person, but this is what I heard. I don't know if I heard it right, but this is what I heard. I hope I have it right. Maybe I shouldn't say anything, but this is what I heard. But anyway, going on, or from vague rumors, or from absolute lies of news reports or gossip lines. That's like a scientist producing the prehistoric man from a hog's tooth. It's funny, but when we judge a car, you go down and you look at a car, see? You judge the whole car, don't you? Well, what'd you like about the car? Well, I like the looks. And then we took it out for a trial run. It runs good. The gas consumption is good. It's got a lot of speed. It gets on the freeway good. Very comfortable. It seems to be very dependable and handled safely. And yet I thought we judge our fellow man by single acts and words. One word, one act, and we right then and there judge them. They are no good. I will not talk to them again. How can we do that? Have you ever woke up and you knew you were going to have a lousy day? And you said, well, I got started off on the wrong foot. And so everybody that day is judging you on that one day of the whole of your life. Well, that's how we judge other people. They can say one word, and we got their number. Hey, it's a little more complex than that, isn't it? Haven't you found that out? Would you like to have people judge you on your one day? Let's say that you had a crabby day. Would you want everybody to judge you on that one day? Would that be fair? Or something they said, or maybe they said, oh, shut up to you. Oh, I'll never talk to that person again as long as I live. Do you judge yourself on that one day? How many days have you been a miserable mess? Do you want everybody to judge you on that one day? I don't. No, 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 no. Let me really get home. No. And yet, we'll do it. Time after time after time. That isn't the kind of person I want around me. How do you know that? Look, this morning, the young man, Jim, that came out here with these potatoes. Huh? Oh, man, just all upset. He was so upset. He was so angry and made phone calls and did this and did that and caused a lot of problems. But before he left, by just saying a few words, not a whole lot, just a few words, you were there, Jim. That man turned completely around. Boy, I love this today. I hope I see you guys again. I'm really sorry the way I acted. I only had an hour and a half sleep. Well, the world even knows that. Never judge a book by its cover. We do that, don't we? We see somebody we automatically don't like. Isn't that right? Have you ever done that, honey? Have you seen somebody and you just automatically don't like them? Or maybe at school somebody says, oh, don't talk to her. She's a nerd. Just stay away from her. She's icky poo. And so then you have that in your mind. She's a nerd and she's icky poo. And then you add a couple to it. Do you ever get that way when you're crabby? You don't like that person. Huh? And they judge you. They say, that little girl is such a little crab. But see, mother knows you. And she knows that you have your crabby days. And most of your days are good days. And someone else comes and says, you got the crabbiest little daughter in the whole wide world. That's not true, according to you. You know her. God knows his children. You can't judge. The only one that can judge is God. And I don't care what anybody says to you. Don't judge them. Well, that's not easy to do. But oh, if you can find the secret, if you can just keep your mouth shut, glory to God, you're home free. If we can learn not to judge, if we can go on doing the work that God has called us to do and don't become confused with the world. And yet, I said, we judge our fellow man by single acts and single words. One word and we got their number. By misleading glimpses, you might see them this or see them that. By first appearances. By an overheard mad. Ooh, I don't want to get next to that person. Man, I heard that person in there a yelling and a shouting and a carrying on. And oh, no, no, no. I remember a person like that. Whoa, just reminds me of so-and-so. Let me out of here. And so we're so quick to judge. You, pastor, that gave me the phone call. Don't concern yourself that someone heard you having a mad. And anyway, from this we magnify mood into character. We go by one mood and we say, this is the whole of the character of that person. Can that be true? Does that sound logical? No. No. I'm telling you that the human being is too complex, too confused, too uncertain, too changing, too subject to mood, and they'll always contradict our first conclusions. Never conclude anything about anybody. Say nothing till you hear from me. You remember that song, Sue? And so we brand people. And by one episode, we say that's the way they live. That's their life. And sometimes Christians call it discernment, when really it's disposement. It's not discernment. I discern that person to be this or that, and they want to dispose of one another. I had the news on, and I caught a little bit of, I think it was Channel 4, and they said there's a brand new religion out now, and it's sweeping the country. Then I heard a little glimpse. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I heard a little piece of it, just enough to know it was from the devil. And the person said, well, what do they believe? Well, they believe that man knows everything. And I says, that's not a God, because the Bible says, be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. So right then, I just turned it off. And they got books and books and books, and literature is flooding the counters now, because, see, they're, the sales are down on all the books. And so now they have a brand new religion. Did anybody happen to see that on that? They're going to show it on Channel 4 later tonight. Anybody see that? And you know where it comes from? From the light fantastic we've been hearing for the last 15 years. People getting into their own head. And so they kind of get off and they get away from the gospel and they go over here into a little group over here and they sit with clothes on that look like old curtains. And they just get weird, folks. Then they come up with a brand new sort of a religion. God spoke to me. And and they walk around, and God is speaking to them directly, and they come up with something that doesn't even resemble anything of God at all. Man knows everything. Man is God. Man is the whole thing. And they say, we know. And this guy says, yes, we actually know everything. It's all, hey. Dumb as I am, I know I don't know everything. Come on now. And you know what? It says they'll be coming, preaching another gospel. And it says they will believe a lie. Are you hearing this? Don't concern yourself. They'll believe a lie and they will be damned. Believing a lie and they will be damned. Are you hearing this? So don't concern yourself with yourself. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. If I've ministered anything in a heavy way, I have to minister this. I think it's really close to the end times. When the Light Fantastic comes out on these bookshelves right now because no one's buying this other stuff, and they come out with a brand new thing now. And it says, even almost the elect will be fooled. Even almost. Boy, if there's been a time we should preach realism and get into the works of God, it's right now. So you see, there's no time for a judging. And so for sure, there's too much human judgment, isn't there? Isn't there? What's your thoughts on this? What do you think? What do you think of this person? Too much easy criticism of the acts of others. And it's funny, we cannot stand to be criticized, but we're so critical ourselves. No one quite measures up to our greatness. Does it seem that way to you? Does it seem that way, honey, in school? Do you know what criticism means, honey? When people criticize one another, does it seem that way in school where there's little groups and this criticizes this group and that criticizes that? Where do you think they get all that? From their mom and dad? From their peers? Here even now we have the president in a very wonderful finishing up of his ministry, of his administration, and that's even judged. I don't trust them Russians. Hey, just that they got together is a miracle. See, there are those out there that kill everything. Are you hearing this? And so we sometimes suspect that someone did something or other, so suspicion is permitted to displace evidence. Well, we just suspicion it. Well, how do you know that? Well, it doesn't take me much. I got discernment. I know. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know about things like that. Oh. Why don't you write a book on, I just know about things like that. Oh, I've suspicioned her for some time. Mm-hmm. But what is your evidence? What is the basis for your suspicions? Did you ever have someone think you stole something? And you didn't. Did it ever happen to you where it just looked like you did it and your family thinks you did it or something like that? Anybody? Did it ever happen to you? And you didn't do it? Did it ever happen to you? And all of a sudden people are saying, well, you know that Dick, you can just tell the guy's a thief. All these guys with fingernails like that, and I don't know what your fingernails look like, but they got the skin kind of back on them, you know, and they got them beady eyes like, you know what I mean? Sort of drawn back. I'm just, that isn't you, but I mean, all of a sudden they start forming a picture of you, and you're some kind of a monster, sneaking in and grabbing people's purses. Because someone suspicioned it. Well, I suspect him. Well, how do you know? Well, never mind. Never mind, because they have no basis for it. Never mind, I know. And then they go off and they say, well, so-and-so, and this is real reputable. I mean, he's a reputable guy, you know, Mr. McSnerd. And he suspicions Dick over there. He says he's such a fine person, he doesn't want to mention all the dirty, nasty things that Dick did. But he just knows, and he can back it up. Well, he's reputable. No, Red, they're already got you in jail. On suspicion. Right? Well, don't feel too guilty. I mean, the bars aren't there yet, Dick. I mean, you know. Well, it's true, though, isn't it? And so we become weary of one another, and we become fearful of one another. Where were you on the night of so-and-so? I didn't do anything. Huh? Isn't that the whole world right now? I mean, you can't even be free to walk into a room. Somebody might suspect this or suspect that or whatever. Hey, I'm not going to get into judging, so I can walk right through that room and I can feel real good about it. I'm not going to judge the judgers. Hello, judges! And walk right through that room. And don't judge them. You'll fall into the same uneasy feeling yourself. It's a bondage. Judging is a bondage. And so we allow, I believe, cheap shrewdness to banish charity. We allow prejudice to masquerade as judgment. We imagine, well, we guess, well, I've been thinking lately. We speculate. And then we pass on through the medium of indiscreet speech and idle gossip. That may ruin someone, which may cause someone bitterness, which may cause someone sorrow, which may cause someone heartache and injustices to others. And the very ones we condemn may be going through a battle or a trial or a temptation. They're going through a very hard time. And so we judge them right then. We say, well, their behavior is very erratic. And we don't stop to consider they may be going through a trial or a battle or something. A temptation we would have fallen to. Or dropped back behind because of the pressure. Well, the rule is when Satan inspires us to judge someone, that's the time we need to pray. That's the time that people need support. That's the time that they need understanding and love and forgiveness and faith and friends. But anyway, we have a right to preferences. You're going to have friends that you like better than others. That isn't judging. We're going to have our own likes and our own dislikes, our own impressions. But our opinions we must leave at the door. Our opinions, I said, we must leave at the door. Doesn't a good journeyman keep his verdict till all the evidence is in? Well, in our case, that's when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we got to be careful because, see, there's souls at stake. We may see an act but have no light of revelation of the motive behind it. We may flippantly condemn the laughter of a person who has suffered a terrible loss. some time back, a woman had lost her husband, and she was seen the very day laughing. And it was said that she was a very heartless person, a very sadistic person. But you know, that person may be bleeding inwardly. They're under tremendous pressure. There's a tremendous shock going on in their life, and they're reacting differently than what we would suppose, and so we suppose that they're very heartless. Well, there is a song like that, laughing on the outside, crying on the inside. We may criticize and say someone is over-forgiving, but then love is to overlook all things. We may call someone conceited when it may be only someone's attempt to recover a lost self-confidence that he hungers so to regain. Someone that has totally gone down through fear, through a degrading experience, through a slanderous situation in their life. And they come up and all of a sudden they're getting on top of it. And we say, oh, they're so conceited. They're just trying to regain themselves. No, I think we should say, hey, that's great. Maybe the person said, God really used me. Boy, it was, well, I felt his power going through me. Boy, what a move. And then with our snap judgment, we say, oh, stop looking for a pat on the back. Stop looking for credit. You're in the flesh, you jerk. Isn't there a lot of us that say that in the old charismatic movement? And then we send this person home. See? Person that was trying to regain some self-respect. Maybe they came lagging, or came with a lagging self-confidence, a lagging self-respect, a lagging self-reliance. And when we could have said, oh, that's great, brother. Yes, God did use you. Let's stop, brother, and give some praise to the Lord now for how he used you tonight. Instead, we completely kill the person with our influence.
There you have it. That was episode 325. That was part one to judging. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a tuck. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. Still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.